His name is David Luke Fladman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom.
And this is Flats and Shanks.
Yes.
And we are, I think we're okay. Are you okay, boy?
Yeah, we're fine. We're just sat here in the Radisson Blue Hotel.
We're just sitting here. Just trying to correct you.
Okay. Well, you can't say we're sat here.
No.
Why?
We sat is perfect tense. So it's, we sat here yesterday. I sat there yesterday.
But sitting. People will be listening to this.
Yeah, but we're talking in the present.
Not live.
We're talking in the present.
Okay, we're sitting here. Gnaws. In the Radisson Blue in Covent Garden.
Yeah.
We've just been for a lovely lunch.
Haven't we?
With... Where was the restaurant? Was it the...
Temper in Soho.
Temper,
it was called.
Yeah.
It was like Smokehouse, wasn't it? Jeez, it was nice. Holy moly.
Yeah, it was like tapas food with a little bit of bite to it, a little bit of kick.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. So
I really enjoyed that, in fact.
Yeah, we sat and had a little debrief, really, of our ITV podcast.
Yeah.
With... Harry and Jane and Mish.
Yeah.
Mish. Which was all positive.
Yeah.
Although they did say we waffled a little bit too much, but...
Well, maybe on the John Davis one.
I mean,
one.
I only listened to good feedback.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as they said one thing we thought you could do better, I just switched off.
Correct.
No, they got a point. We do waffle a little bit, but now and again, we won't do that today, will we? Straight to the point. But Michelle was... Michelle's expressed, she said we should really... stop. We don't swear that much on our pods, but we should consider
you
stopping
more
swearing
than
altogether.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
I'm probably a bit rougher than you, aren't I?
Well, I think you watched a lot of movies before you were at the right age.
So true.
Yeah. Watching a lot of Samuel Jackson movies, weren't you, when you were
watching
really
Nil
young.
By Mouth with Ray Winston and Kathy Burke when I was 12.
Watching Scum when you were like 8.
Yeah.
Kids go and watch Peppa Pig.
4737 Carling, sir.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yes, it. I'm the daddy. Yeah, so...
See, you know that. I know Jean Valjean 24601.
What's that?
You don't know what that is?
No.
Where have you been, mate? Living in a cage?
Maidstone, then Dulwich, then Bath.
Les Mis?
No, never seen
You've Les never Mis. Seen it?
No.
That surprises me, that.
Why?
Because you try to come across as this... What is it with coughing and podcasts with you?
I don't know, mate. I think there's something wrong
with you.
You
try to come across as this culture vulture and got an
opinion. No, I don't.
Got an opinion on everything, yet you've never seen the greatest ever show.
Yes,
musical.
Yes, I have. I've seen Phantom of the Opera. Seen that? Seen it?
You played him, did you?
You seen the Book of Mormon?
No, I've heard that's good.
That's dope. That's sick.
Nothing would beat Les Mis, though. Have you seen the film?
Well, have you seen? Okay, have you seen the Phantom of the Opera?
Yes.
That's bother. You haven't. You haven't seen it.
I have.
Right, what's it about then?
It's about Michael Ball and he wears a mask.
What's it about? You haven't seen it?
Yeah, it's about a young girl with a talking teapot and teacup. And she falls in love with this beast that's been put under a spell.
Do 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 do. You haven't seen it. So you can't say you've seen the greatest show if you haven't seen all of them.
Have you seen The Greatest Showman?
No.
That's meant to be brilliant.
Yeah, it's dope.
Meant
sick.
To be.
I've not seen it. I'm trying to say dope and sick a little bit more just to be...
I noticed you start to dress a little bit younger, more
Mate,
your
I've
age.
I've got a grey wool jumper on.
I watched you. Yeah, but it's trendy. You've got a trendy pair of trousers on. You're not wearing tweed.
Mate, I've got a pair of black jeans on. And
you'd never ever
old...
used to wear black jeans till you met Gavin Henson. Fact.
Yeah, won't deny that. But... I've got a pair of knackered old brown brogue boots with all crusty that
they
I have
could
to wear.
Do.
I'm going to have to wear them plus black tie events.
For those of you that are trying to imagine what the boots look like, watch Romper Stomper with Russell Crowe and you get an idea of, this is England.
Yeah.
And you get an idea of the boots he's wearing.
Yeah, I like them, but they're knackered. But I'm going to have to wear brown knackered leather boots with a dinner jacket, and a velvet
perfect,
dinner jacket.
Perfect to go with your Stone Island jacket you've just bought. Brilliant for booting
people in
thugs.
The I like Stone Island, though, and it's a bit thuggish, but...
Yeah, and Burberry, you do. But you
No, I don't wear...
Took his Burberry cap off before he came in the room.
Not true. People just do nothing. True. MC Grinder.
Yeah, we saw him. Who did we see in the
That's
in the
MC
restaurant?
Grinder, wasn't it? So in the restaurant was MC Grinder and the chap, I've forgotten his name, the Asian chap who's in the wheelchair who co-wrote The Office and I think Extras and People Just Do Nothing. Absolute genius bloke. They were both in there and Michelle was a little bit giddy, wasn't she? She wanted to... She said she didn't want a selfie, but she did.
Well, she's trying to align her toilet visits with them, wasn't she?
Yeah.
With MC Grinder.
But why does she want to go... Why does she want to go to the toilet with MC Grinder? Where they go to men and women's to go to separate loos anyway. She just wanted to be near him, I think.
To smell him as he walked past. There we are, the cough started.
Yeah, this, I have
hate people coughing, mate. I hate people coughing. I'm like the cough suppressor. You know, if I hear people cough, I want to make sure they keep it in.
Okay, I'll try and keep it in from now on.
Try.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe it's just when but you don't cough when you're doing TV, or do you?
I do, yeah, regularly.
But I like what you were wearing for the angler for the Premiership highlights of the weekend.
Did you?
I thought you looked dapper.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, defo.
Because Ellis Genge walked past me. He said, "Never wear them garms again, brother. Don't wear them garms again, brother."
No, I like that.
I said, "Are you serious, our kid? That's a bespoke cashmere. You should know that."
Black suits you though. Like, it doesn't suit me because it's too much of a contrast for my skin. I've got to soften it up a little bit with the blue.
Yeah.
But no, I like what you're wearing.
Okay, good stuff.
Shame the Anglo-Welsh final was called off last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, risk was this Friday, isn't it?
This Friday.
You and me, boy.
What have you been up to?
Oh, God, Tom.
Let me say what I've been up to first.
Well, hang on a minute. Don't ask me and then go off yourself.
Well, I'll edit it out anyway, mate, so it's fine.
Go on then, what have you been up to?
Don't ruin my iPod. I just popped across to Manila in the Philippines for a little visit.
Just popped over, was it?
Yeah.
Just get up to?
Flying past stuff. It's lovely actually. It's the Manila Tens, the Fat Boy Tens, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So it's a big old event over there.
Is it a big event?
Yeah, it is a big event.
How on earth is there a Vets Tens tournament in Manila in the Philippines?
I don't know if it's all Vets. There's some youngsters there as well. But I think it's just a big rugby tournament, like a social tournament. Like, it's one that's on the calendar for a lot of players.
And you've got to be a vet to go?
Well, I think it's both.
When did you qualify?
Because medically, I studied.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So after you milked my cat?
It's after I went and got my teeth sorted.
Got your toenails clipped at the vets and that qualified you.
My temperature taken at the vets. But it was
your
really
glands
good.
Cleared out.
Really good. Got there, obviously a bit of a time difference. But
what time difference? Everyone wants to know.
8 hours, I think. Yeah.
I just kept a coffin. Did you notice that? I kept a coffin.
Well done.
8 hours ahead. Well,
yeah, punchy. So I was there. John Bentley does it every year, so he's like the MC of the big lunch. They have a big lunch before.
It's easy, Shanks. Oh, no problem, mate. It's easy. Yeah. It's easy. Don't, mate. Get up there. They'll wear gagging for you. I'm gagging to laugh. Be brilliant, mate. Be brilliant, mate.
It'd be easy.
Easy, mate. Easy, be brilliant, mate. Honestly, mate.
Just
no
get
problem.
Up there. Make them laugh. It'd be so easy.
Piece of cake, mate. Easy. You're right. Piece of cake, mate.
Yeah, so it was really good. There's a guy called Mickey Quinn. Used to play for Ireland.
Yeah.
I think late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Quinny.
Guess what position he was?
Winger.
Actually close. He's number 10. And we all got given these shirts.
Good game, that.
All got given these shirts with the colour of our nationality. And as obviously I had Wales on mine and my name on the back. I'm number 13. And Mick Quinn was Irish.
He's Irish.
Quinn on the back and number 10, but it blatantly looked like someone stuck a zero on next to the one because he's a big bloke for a 10. For a past 10.
So a former 10. So he's let himself go a bit.
A little bit.
He's a fat knacker. Is that what you're saying? Just say it.
I didn't expect him to say he played 10, but what a guy. Great fun with him.
Liked him?
Loved him.
Did he like you?
Yeah.
So what did you do? You went to a dinner and stood up and spoke and told some gags, did you?
Yeah. I'd stories. I don't do jokes, you know that.
What was your opener?
Just necked a pint. Left-handed.
You're so Jim and Goody now. You're so Jim and Goody.
I'm not, but that's the only one I did. But people like that, don't they? They like to see someone having a crack, drinking left-handed because you don't want to be buffaloed, and win the crowd, win your freedom. I've always said that.
You have, actually. That is actually true.
Yeah so... Okay.
You had a nice time, well done.
Yeah,
good to be back,
nice.
Yeah? Quiet one, good to be back, yeah?
What about you, mate? What have you been up to?
I went to Hawaii, just flying over. Went to Hawaii, chilled out.
Second wedding, was it? When you're talking about it off air. But you actually went through with it?
Yeah, I went through with it, mate, yeah.
Well done.
No, I haven't been anywhere. I went to... I had lunch in Bath the other day with a friend of mine called Tim, who you might be listening now, hi, and Matt Powell, our friend. And I walked
AP McCoy.
AP McCoy, cough. I walked in and Bruce Craig was also there, the owner of
Batman.
Bath Rugby.
Oh, Bath yeah. Rugby.
Not Bruce Wayne. So that was good fun. It was nice. He's a nice man.
I saw you online, mate. You did a... Was it Schalk Britz's
so
testimonial?
So on Wednesday I hosted Schalk Britz's
sorry. My bad.
So, yeah, hosted that and Jim dressed me up as Tinkerbell because the whole premise of the whole... It's an NBN event. It's really, really good. But the whole premise of it was that he's the Peter Pan of rugby, which I've heard him called like maybe once before.
I've never heard him called that.
No, exactly. It's like everyone calls Johnny Eels nobody because nobody's perfect, but no one's ever called him that. Everyone calls Ben Kane Mullud because his dad was a judge. Never happened. Heard. Everyone calls Andy Sheridan Ted. No one's ever called him Ted. He's Sherry or Shez. So it's all lies. It's like everyone calls me Ace or Striker, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Peter Pan of rugby. So they dressed me up as Tinkerbell, Big Jim as Captain Hook, and Parra.
He looked like he had prosthetic legs, mind.
Yeah, Jim's legs they weren't ever big, but they're gone, aren't they?
Yeah.
Proper gone. But Petrus Duplessis dressed up as Princess Tiger Lily. We had a good time.
Was it good? You raised lots of money?
The whole point was like...
Was it worth losing your dignity?
Yeah, for Skulk it was. Yeah, for cool. Charity, yeah.
For the lads.
So the whole point of it is a Peter Pan of rugby. And I was like, firstly, I stood up on stage and I was like, firstly, no one has ever called him that. Like, all the bump for this event is Peter Pan. No one's ever called him the Peter Pan of rugby. Secondly, Peter Pan, I think, never aged, never got old, right? We're literally here to celebrate the retirement of Skulk Britz because he's too old to play rugby anymore. So the whole premise falls down.
He only gets old when he leaves Neverland.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Right.
Okay, like the whole like thing, Robin Williams when he came back.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. So the whole thing's balls and it's just an excuse to dress us up and humiliate us, and it worked.
So if
Johnny
Gould
did the auction, unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's just unbelievable. He's a force of nature.
So if someone books you to host an event, I'm also available, by the way, they can decide what you wear. Is that how
no.
it works?
They basically said, are you up for dressing up as Tinkerbell?
Yeah,
I said, rather not.
If it's for charity as well.
If it's for charity, yeah, fine.
How do you say no?
I don't. Do what you want. I don't mind. It's good fun.
Yeah.
These guys are all friends. They're all friends. It's fine.
Yeah, you got to do it for the boys, haven't you?
Of course you have, haven't you? But it was nice, actually. And then on Thursday morning, it was a sickly one because Durders and I had to film a Channel 5 advert at Thorpe Park. He hates roller coasters. I hate roller coasters and I hate heights. And we had to go twice around this roller coaster, and it was being with cameras and stuff on. It was.
What was it called, the roller coaster?
How was it called? Colossus.
Okay.
Apparently, it's not the worst one. I mean, mate, it was.
I thought you were going to say something like it was called Sloth. Just real slow.
It was you. No, it was a kid's one. No, but it was absolutely horrific, really unpleasant, and it'll make for a funny advert for the live games, remaining live games. But, excuse me. But. That was minging, but couldn't have any lunch after that. We both felt properly minging. But I raced from there to Wasps to the Rico to host this quiz night thing they just put on, a charity thing. Yeah. And I just tried it out. Never mind the buzz Wasps. Get it?
No.
And it was bloody good fun.
Was it?
Genuinely really good fun. Yeah.
Who put that together then? Wasps themselves? Or was it?
Verity Brown, who's one of the marketing department at Wasps. And it was... Sometimes these nights can be a bit... They can be a bit desperate. And you don't know till you get there that it's going to be... This was brilliant.
But suppose if you're at Wasps...
The lads were brilliant as well.
If you're at Wasps, it's an event at Wasps, you've probably got a lot of Wasps sponsors and supporters there. You've got the Wasps boys on a panel, yeah?
Yeah.
Both were... it's going to be fun, isn't it?
It was really, really good.
So what sort of questions were they... Were you asking them about Wasps or about the players?
Well, Waspy type stuff and how much do you know about Die Young and what line comes next in this song and...
Okay.
Here you go. Give me the next line. Mr. Loverman.
Shubba.
Amazing. I knew you'd get it straight away. None of them got it.
No way.
The lads don't know. They're too young. They're too young to get all this stuff.
I said it to my kids.
Yeah. They didn't get it. They were like, Shabba never. And we said it, Shabba. And they were like, no.
What's the next?
God, let me try and think of one. Blue Moon.
You got me dancing with me. Yeah?
No, I just made it up. Just,
okay.
No, but you. But I can't remember any of the others, but I just made up Blue Moon, but you didn't know it anyway. But it was a really good night, and
I've never seen so many men ask if you wanted to dance.
Looking for a little romance.
Given half
a chance. Chris de Burgh.
Oh, did you see the little message he played for Dom Day?
Chris de Burgh?
Yeah. So Dom Day's recently got engaged to his girlfriend.
Long-term girlfriend, yeah.
And Chris de Burgh played a little message and he posted it online.
For Dom Day?
For Dom Day.
How do they know each other?
Through a friend.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
On Twitter or?
I think Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, I'll have a look at that.
So, yeah, so it's a nice one.
Oh, great lad, Dom.
And Chris de Burgh has not aged at all.
Hasn't he? It's like Peter Pan.
He has a little bit.
Saturday we had our live game.
Yeah, how was
Sounds
that?
Against Quins. Yeah, it was good. It's fine. Good fun. It's a nice day working with Dirders, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paul Grayson's brilliant. Conor McNamara.
I thought you were going to say all right.
But Paul Grayson?
He's really good. I was listening to him on Radio 5 Live at the weekend.
He's brilliant. I really think he's brilliant.
He's not as good as me, but he's
not good. In your league, but no. He's brilliant. And then we did the highlights. Dirders and I did the highlights at... So it was sort of stay overnight in town, and then it's straight. Then it's straight
day,
to
the
straight to Leicester for the highlights, yeah. And then from Leicester, which was amazing game at Leicester. We'll talk about that in a minute. Really, really good a game. And straight from then Leicester, so yeah, London to Leicester to Manchester, and then yesterday because it's Tuesday today. Yesterday I did a Land Rover shoot, an open range video with Jason Robinson.
You've been busy, boy.
OBE, MBE, whichever one. He's got both of them, and he was just, I mean,
phenomenal.
Oh man, he's class. Absolute class. I mean, known, you know, we've both known Jason a long time, but it's still, you're with him and you're like, this is a bona fide once in a generation legend.
Imagine he's still in Ultimate Nick.
Probably, he's rigged up, naturally rigged up, but I think he still works out because Sian, his wife, is personal trainer. She's mega fit.
And I always see, when you see people like that and you see them and they're like, just bulging muscles everywhere. I just think, you can't enjoy your food. You must have just boiled chicken and broccoli.
They gave us a couple of sandwiches from down the co-op into the car during a break. Yeah, he just smashes them in.
It's cheat day for them. You don't know. That's what they eat in the week. It's a cheat day. Oh, I forgot to mention. How strange was this, right? As I was on the plane flying back from...
Thriller.
From Abu Dhabi, because it stopped off in Abu Dhabi, to Heathrow. The guy next to me was watching his iPad, and he was around 50... possibly 55 years old.
Yeah.
He was watching Baywatch. He was flat out watching Baywatch.
Oh,
and one of the early Baywatches as well, where Erica Eleanor is in there.
Oh, yeah.
She's the one that pops out of the cake in...
Yeah, in Under Siege.
Yeah.
Yeah, fully set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, I liked it when I was 15...
55, bro.
16 years old, but yeah. Jeez.
Hey, Tommy, everyone's fighting a fight, mate. You don't know.
Watched a great film as well, Three Billboards.
Yeah, what's it like?
It's really good. A little bit, if I'm brutally honest, I thought the acting was amazing. I love the acting in it, but I just wanted a little bit more from the ending. I won't spoil it for anyone.
Yeah, please don't.
But also, it was under the comedy section on the plane, which I didn't get either.
One.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Considering there's a murder. It's better.
So, tonight we have the... Sports Sponsorship Awards at the Grosvenor.
We're hosting.
Hosting.
Just joking.
No, the
couldn't afford us.
Our little video with Robert Walters with a British Lions super fan, Stuart Broad, is up for an award alongside against Carlsberg and Etihad with Man City, and so we're gonna get smashed. Like we're gonna get drunk, but we're also not gonna win. But
in
it
terms
doesn't matter.
Of budget to audience ratio, we're winners because.
We assume. We don't know anything about the other campaigns. But
it wouldn't be. No, well, we would have had a smaller crew compared to them. Maybe.
Must have done.
100%.
Must have done.
So we potentially could be award winners tomorrow.
Well, I think we won't be, but we are award nominated marketeers.
Mate, they don't know.
They don't know. We won, guys. Yeah. We won. We won again. It's a multiple award winning duo.
So, yeah.
Shanks and Flats.
Exciting week.
Flats and Shanks, alphabetical and superiority.
And wait.
Go on then.
Bath versus Chiefs we started with at the weekend.
Don't act like, you know, you don't have to do this, okay, mate? You can, if you want to go to bed, we're in
I know
Shanks's.
I don't have to do this. I've got loads of money.
Which
it's tied up in my parents' house. But when they go, wow.
We're in Shanks's bedroom in a hotel room in Covent Garden at the moment. Don't say which hotel in case we get swarmed.
I think I've said it already, but we're only here for a night, so by the time the fans come, we'll be gone.
Yeah. So if you want to go to bed because you can't be arsed, just let me know and I'll carry on the pod.
So Exeter won by 2 points.
Yeah, that's true.
2018. I thought Bath a little bit unlucky. I mean, their defence was good for real large periods, but how dangerous are Exeter when they get close to the line?
Yeah.
And it's so difficult sometimes to defend because, I mean, one try was against the base of a post, wasn't it?
Sam Simmons and then Johnny Hill from half a yard.
Yeah. And he sort of enters the ruck at the rear, doesn't he? Picks the ball up, goes over.
Plops over, 9 feet tall. But
it is difficult to defend that. You really have to be switched on. You have to get your body incredibly low. You have to... The problem you've got is you have to dive at people, don't you? Using your shoulder. But then if you don't use your arms, it's a penalty.
I would argue you should defend that.
Okay.
He picked it up and plopped it over.
It's quite difficult. What I'm saying is difficult to defend. It's not like a one-on-one tackle.
Even if you get down there and you punch the ball and try and knock it out of his hands or knock it on or something, I would argue you shouldn't be able to score that easily.
But Exeter are just industrial, aren't they? Industrious, even by the goal line.
When you say a team's dangerous, it's like they've got loads of strike moves, but they have, but they don't need them a lot of the time. They've got so much power and they're so
They just need to get 5 metres out and they can keep going. What they do well is they retain the ball close to the line as well.
So well coached.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that why?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is. I mean, why can't all the teams score as many as they do with the forward pack and they get near the line?
Sometimes they're not as powerful because a lot of that is down to size and strength.
Yeah, but you can't tell me that, you know, Johnny Hill at 6'8", and he's a big guy, but he's not. You can't tell me he's more powerful than, you know, he's significantly more powerful than Graham Kitchener or Sione Calamifone. Do you know what I mean?
It's composure as well, isn't it, that's drilled into him as well and taking the time.
They were great. I thought Benno Abano was fantastic for Bath. And Alec Hepburn for both the Luces were brilliant. I thought they were really, really good.
Loved
top of the range.
Freddie Burns' kick for Banahan's try. Like, properly off the cuff. Not pre-called at all.
Talent.
So skillful. He just gets the ball. He's going lateral. Nothing's on. And when you're in that position yourself, and I've been in loads, you know, you've got all these things going through your head and you end up just tucking a ball because you panic and you overthink. But to be able to think clearly...
Speak for yourself.
But to be able to think that clearly under pressure and just thread it through like that when you've got loads of different options in your head.
Yeah, that's quite something.
It was quite something, you're right. But I thought Bath were a little bit too predictable in attack. I mean, you look at the Bath of 3 years ago and how well they varied their game. A lot of that, I think, was because you had Eastman at 12 as well and you could play a little bit wider in the wider channels. But it just seems a bit too much one-up runners at the moment.
Yeah, and you've got to think that...
And the weather plays a huge part as well. You know, it wasn't the greatest. But I think they need more variety. I think they're struggling a little bit to find a style of play that suits them at the moment.
But they've got Jamie Roberts coming in and that's not going to aid any distribution or your wide game. But what it might do is say, well, actually, at least we're not going to fall between two stalls. We've got a guy who's going to smash it up and give us momentum. So if they're happy with that, at least they're going, at the moment, they kind of have neither, do they? Kind of don't have
a lot of momentum. So they're sort of going back to, not basics, but they're going back to a simpler game plan.
Yes, I think so, yeah. I thought it was interesting because Freddie Burns was clearly demonstratively very aggrieved to have been subbed off.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the way he remonstrates a little bit because he wants to be out there. Priestland came on, produced a bit of magic, and then produced an absolute howler, dropped the ball, got hacked near his line. It was just, you know... It's a funny one, that, because I'm still not sure they've quite got their first choice fly half nailed there.
Is this a dress rehearsal for this week's Anglo-Welsh final?
Yeah, it'd be an interesting game.
It'd be interesting to see what type of teams both Bath and Exeter pick, because a lot of the first teamers wouldn't have played in the Anglo-Welsh leading up to it. So
yeah,
I'm intrigued to see how seriously these teams take this competition now. It's a final. There's a chance of winning the silverware.
Yeah.
Do they go with the team that they've stuck by through the whole of this tournament when the internationals are going on?
I reckon Chiefs will. Bath will go first choice.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon.
Possibly.
Bath haven't won a trophy in 10 years.
So, That's why.
Who was playing when they won it? Can't remember. Anyway.
Saracens Quins.
Yeah, I was there. It wasn't a great game, to be honest, Tommy. It was kind of fine. Quins didn't quite look in it, to be frank. Saracens
From the start, I agree with you. Saracens were in control through the whole of that game.
It really felt like that. And there were guys that battled really hard in vain for Harlequins. Chris Robshaw, obviously, because it's just what he does. Chisholm and Wallace, the whole back row was really, really industrious. Chisholm and Wallace.
Okay.
Chisholm, the thing is, he's hard to shake off. All over it. Chisholm was all over the ball at the weekend.
Kept coming inside, though. It was annoying. But we'll start off with the first try, okay? So Maitland rips open the defence and...
Just a great line.
It was a great
aggressively
line.
Aggressively run, not a great line, aggressively run line.
And then it's quick hands down across the right. But I don't think enough of this was made at the time. I mean, it was lovely soft hands by Brad Barrett. Oh, something that we don't see too much of him do.
I love that.
Capable of doing it easily. But there's no reason for Tim Visser to jam in at all onto Brad Barrett. And the thing, especially when you're under the cosh like that, you don't jam in. If you jam in, it's a winger's choice, but you have to take man and ball. You have to.
Yeah.
There's no other option. You have to take man and ball. He doesn't need to. I reckon if he stays out on his wing, they drift across, the defence will come across, and I reckon that they might be able to snuff that try out. As it happens, Visser's made a decision for Barrett. Too easy.
Yeah.
And a player of Brad Barrett's calibre, just soft hands and a well-finished try by Liam Williams. But I don't think enough was made of it, of Visser. He does. If I was defensive coach, I'd be a bloody good one if I was.
Do you reckon you would?
Yeah, I'd be all right, actually. He
reckon?
Would. Yeah. You'd have to, that's a big no-no. Yeah. When you break, when teams are broken, when teams are on the back foot, when they're pedalling back, that's not the time to jam in. It's too big a call at the start of the game to make a big defensive error like that. And then, obviously, it was one-way traffic, really, for Saracens then, really, the whole way through. And Otoji was very good.
He was brilliant.
Proved a point.
Yeah, he proved a point.
What do you think of his celebration?
Love it. Too tired, sleeps.
Absolutely
love it. I love it.
I saw Will Carlin put up something up on Twitter to say, is it just me or is it something that we don't want to see in the game? Along those lines.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. I thought it was great. I thought it was just a bit of fun.
He's just bitter. He's just bitter that he got held up in the Middlesex Sevens once over the line, isn't he?
Exactly. I thought...
Was that a fake laugh?
That's good.
Another one?
It's not, you twat. But Asikwe and Ray were good, by the way. And I also, Dom Day was really good, put a load of important hits in.
When Otoji does step inside, he steps inside about four people.
Yeah. Well, he shrugs off, he shakes off Chisholm, doesn't he? Brushes off Chisholm.
Danny Kerr doesn't really want to know too much.
Yeah.
He gets a little bit off balance, but ends up grabbing him, trying to grab up top.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not so much sure about Danny Kerr, actually, about maybe it wasn't that bad a missed tackle. But then Quinn's come back, and the Horwell angle, it's a good angle, and you see a lot of teams using that. You're just trying to separate two defenders. You're trying to run in between two defenders. When you're a big lump and you're 18, 19 stone, you run in between two defenders, you get arms for a start. Yeah. You get arms, you'll be able to pump your legs.
You get through,
You'll be able to get through. And it's just about players being able to scan. When you're on that line defensively, you're looking into the ruck, obviously, because you need to know when the ball comes out. But we've talked about it before, your head's just got to be rotating, looking in, looking out.
Yeah.
You know, if you see him running, you've got to
head on a swivel,
lane.
Head on a swivel.
Exactly.
That's it, isn't it?
But the point is, he wasn't running into chest, he was running into arms. So, not the greatest of games, but...
Wasn't great, but Sarri's roll on.
Pretty easy win.
Sarri's roll on, Tommy, don't they? Carl Sinclair was good, by the way. He was everywhere, made so many carries. Well defended, but made a lot of carries. Made Sarri's do a lot of tackling. Irish against Gloucester.
Can you believe they were 17-0 up, Irish, after 25
not
minutes?
Not quite, no.
No, nor could I.
I'm impressed with Gloucester, though, to come back and win that.
Do you know who was good?
Who?
Atkinson.
He's really good, wasn't he?
Just, he had a lovely pass off the left, which ended up releasing, I think, Woodward down the right. And
lovely break down the left for Marshall's try as well.
Yes, it was.
He's I said on the telly, he's become a really, really important player for them now.
But he hits two lovely angles as well, leading up to that try. Just gets him on the game. He's a big bloke as well. We saw him
at
Cheltenham, didn't
he's very big.
I actually didn't realise it was him to start with because...
He was a back rower, really.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
But he's, for those of you that are lucky enough to meet me, I think, wow, I'm big. He's another level.
You're only 13 kilos lighter
than me.
He's
not quite the Jamie Roberts level.
Shanks, you're 13 kilos lighter than me now. That's nothing, mate.
13 kilos?
I'm 120, you're 107.
I thought you were talking about stone then. Yeah. Kilo, yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Humble.
Scared is how you should feel. Terrified.
Think fast, isn't it? Face. Yeah. Arm.
London Irish kind of was a pick and go fest and a bit of a drive fest to get 17 points up, so it's not like they cut them apart. But Cock and Asiga towards the end, you see his try,
holy moly, absolute beastly run, smashing people. It was like Jonah Lomu running into Mike Catt or Will Carling, was it, back in the day? It was absolutely savage.
Do you know, with Irish, they just switch off, though. You can see it as well. They just completely switch off. Like, just the concentration levels go. And it's... I hate to say this.
Just say it. Okay, just say it.
Because, I mean, we've all been there, but I look at that team and it just lacks a bit of commitment, I think. And
Have you been there? Be honest, you've been there?
Yeah, sometimes.
You've lacked commitment?
Yes, yeah. You know, not every... Like, played rugby for years and years, mate. 50 years, nearly. And some days and some games, you look back and think, right, I could have actually done a little bit more there. I could have tried a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone does. You think, well, I could have made a little bit more effort to get back to cover, to jack on the ball. And this is the point when Hines breaks down, I think he goes down left, he kicks right, and Pledri gets the ball, takes into contact. I reckon there's a big opportunity for London Irish to get over that ball. They don't really. They watch him go down. Their heads are straight up looking to see what's coming.
Yeah.
And they don't really get in on it.
Worried about getting hit before they're worried about the ball.
That's a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, that's desire.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not the most skillful team in that league, but you don't have to be skillful to have some desire and determination.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem that much urgency then. It must be hard for them because they're bottom of the league. They've not had many wins. They're going to go down.
Yeah. It's hard for them, but they must have thought their luck was in with new coaches and all that stuff. I say not hearing great things, but about Nick Kennedy leaving. You know, I know that Ugo knows him really well, and Hugh said on TV that he thinks he was forced out, and you'd imagine that's coming from a position of knowledge, you know. So I think he was effectively, we're signing someone else, off you go kind of thing, and that's a real shame because it feels like a waste of a very good bloke who's got London Irish to his core. And I don't know, I feel like a complete guess. I don't know Nick Kennedy very well, really, but I feel like this season might have done him some damage, and I think that's a real shame. Equally, you know, if you want to be a coach and you want to be part of a big club and it's your club and all that, and they offer you the DOR role, there's a good chance you take it, you know, because you might not get offered it ever again.
No,
so
true.
Can't blame him, but I feel like I didn't invest a huge amount, didn't get a huge amount of support, so I feel sad for Kendo, actually.
I see Atkinson goes through for, I think, his try, and it's a poor missed tackle to start with by, Brophy Clues.
Mm.
Just doesn't really do much footwork, just gets on the side, it slips off
too
easily. But then I look at the attempt from James Marshall at 15. There's no attempt to tackle him, doesn't even touch him.
Mm.
And it breaks me seeing that in the game.
Like, do you not find it odd, boy, that there are still this, you know, not that I was the best defender in the world, but I was happy to, I suppose it helps being big, and you were big as well for a centre, but it's like there are still lads out there that won't collide, that don't want to collide. Yeah. And like the weekend, watching Wasps live on Sunday at Welford Road, it's Adam Thompson, who's a big old winger for Tigers. He basically gets not away on the left, he's got a bit of room on the left, but Danny Cipriani shuts down his space. He sees Cipriani and he thinks, I'll go straight through this guy, he doesn't like tackling, and Sips buries him.
I know.
Absolutely buries him. You can hear the impact from the sideline. It's a big boom.
But when you see people like that, you'd think, right, I'm going to take him on, he doesn't like to tackle.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some go forward off him.
Yeah, but there are still players who won't collide. I mean, he makes mistakes defensively, they all do, but there are players out there that don't want it, and I find that really odd. Like, you lift all these weights, what I find odd is, a lot of these guys who don't want to collide very hard in defence are more than happy to run flat out at defenders and risk really big collisions. You've got to be really brave to run flat out at defenders at that sort of speed. Like Nick Abendon used to get pinballed around and he'd get up and go again.
He got twilanged a couple of times in the game before, didn't he?
But you've got to be brave. It's not just tacklers who are brave, it's ball carriers who are brave. Yeah. And I find it odd that these guys will be flat out with the ball, but you charge at them and their arse goes. It's odd.
Yeah.
Still in the game, you know.
It's because when you're attacking, you're up tall, aren't you? But when you're defending, you're low down. So there's more things that can potentially connect with your head. And you've probably got to exert a little bit more effort into the tackle because you've got to match the tackle with a run. So
something like that. Forces. But it's funny, but isn't it?
Look, the game of the weekend, it wasn't a huge try-scoring affair, but Leicester Wasps,
what a
game that was.
What a game.
Summer rugby has to be played, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it does. I think you'll...
find a global season comes around sooner than people think.
It has to, because we only saw three tries in that game, but it had something. It had everything in there. I want to start with the...
Well, firstly, did you see Elliot Daly's finger? Have you seen a picture of it?
No.
I don't know if it was made public, but I've seen a picture of it.
I saw his face.
Mate. Really? You know, I retired with a smashed up finger. It was like that, but I think his is all right, because mine had all the nerve damage stuff in it.
Oh, you could see straight away, though, he was wincing and not looking.
Mate.
Okay, I'll have a look.
Bad times.
Nick Maloof, lucky, very lucky to get a yellow card.
I can believe that was a yellow. I'm kind of glad it was a yellow, because I don't like seeing red.
Oh, you thought, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was red.
I thought you were going to say I didn't think it was a penalty.
No, because yeah. Oz and that were saying on the telly it was definitely yellow, weren't they?
Yes.
I've actually got a cough, by the way.
Okay, I've not heard you cough all day, and I've been with you for about 5 hours.
Yes, true, actually.
But yeah, he goes high to start with.
Yeah.
He's not looking at what he's doing. The shoulder connects with the jaw of Wade. Wade doesn't really sink too much either.
Sinks a bit, but that's not really the point, is it?
No, it's not. You've got to lower your hips, you've got to lower your body angle.
It's Nick's responsibility not to collide with his head.
Yes.
So I think someone said, oh, he's looking the other way, doesn't even know what he's doing. It's like, yeah, but that's reckless then.
Yeah, of course it is. Care, you have to look what you're doing and where you're hitting and tackling. So, yeah, but yeah, you're right. In terms of the whole game, it was better that he didn't get it.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game. Manu Tuilagi injured again, looks like a peck or a shoulder.
Yeah, it did.
God, I hope it's all right. It just breaks you, doesn't it, seeing that. Elliot Daly's finger minging.
Johnny May gets knocked out as well.
Oh, my God. Christian Wade. That carry that knocked Johnny May out was brutal, but Christian Wade was absolutely on one at the weekend.
You can't tackle like that. You've got to get your head in the right position.
Yeah.
Like Christian Wade's not a big bloke. He's really small. Johnny May doesn't get low enough at all.
He's got a load of power and he's brave. Yeah. Like when he's made defensive, when he's defended poorly, it's positional. It's never commitment or bravery.
I mean, there was a lot of missed opportunities on both teams. Vianu was brilliant at 15, but makes a lovely break. I think it's a... They do some sort of block play where it goes behind the runner, then back inside to Vianu. Throws a ball inside of Sam Harrison. You think, right, that's a certain try.
Yeah.
But Sam Harrison gets tackled just on the line, loses the ball.
That's a Dan Robson try-saver.
That's it.
What
Dan
Robson,
yeah.
Not as good as Tate's.
No.
That was just
Do you know what I think? I think brilliant. Robson would have scored that try had Elliot Daly not been down. Because Elliot Daly's sort of 5 metres out... And Robson has to go round the inside of Daly.
Now, had Robson
been able to hug the touchline all the way down,
I
think that would have been enough for him to score.
So it's Elliot Daly's fault. But what a
commitment.
Tackle. What a tackle.
Matthew Tate.
And Matt Tamua, one brilliant tap tackle, which is a try saver. One brilliant hold up over the line of Thomas Young. Was it Thomas Young? Some great defence on show at the weekend. But Matt Tate's tackle was just...
Willie LaRue, there's a couple of opportunities with Willie LaRue.
Didn't quite
link with his backs. That's the thing. When you go through... A lot, you know, you have to look for support straight away.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie Lewis is a fantastic player, but the best of all times, they're the ones that just instinctively know where the support is.
Everybody just
ends up running away from it a little bit. And you can see that in his face after when he's walking back and he's sort of a little bit disappointed that wasn't converted.
I thought the game actually hinged on, okay, some big tackles, but I thought it hinged on two substitutions. I thought that Jake Cooper-Woolley leaving the field really weakened Wasps.
How well did he carry the first
good
game?
But his scrum and his carrying, I thought he was powerful. And
he
was
a bit Cardiff Blues, but when Dye left, he took
him with him.
Yeah.
A big, powerful unit. But also Ellis Genge coming on, he was a force of nature. Like, honestly, I'm biased because I'm a prop. He played 20 minutes, I'd have given him man of the match. He completely changed that game. He was just a... brutal, leering, confrontational presence. I thought he absolutely changed it. He was mean as you like, with quality to go with it. He was great.
Did you watch any of the... Well, of course you did, mate. You're banging to TV. Sale, hammering Worcester.
How good were Sale?
They were good.
How good?
How good was that try from Faf de Klerk?
The one, Mike Haley does a bit of work for
him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Marlon Yard up the left.
Good pace for Marlon Yard, mind. I know he's gassing someone who's not super quick, but he's still got really good
wheels. If I'm being uber critical now, which I have been a little bit today,
yeah,
you look
bad
at...
Bad mood, aren't you?
Yeah.
You look coughing?
Tired. You look tired at Shilcock, 10, from Worcester, running back, and again, there's no urgency in him running back. He only really starts to cover when Faf de Klerk gets the ball.
Right.
And by then, it's too late. You know, if... that breakdown left, if he's hammering it across to try and make a tackle, that try's snuffed out completely. Yeah. But he's jogging. He's not jogging. He's cantering. So he's going 70, 80%. When Faf de Klerk gets that inside ball, then he starts.
Have a look at Matt Tate. That's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you do it.
That's how you
get 38 caps and you got a long career in the top clubs. That's how you do that. But yeah, you're right.
It was just,
again, we've all done that, by the
way. Yeah, we have. Yeah. Completely. But, you know, we're here to analyse games and we're here to see why tries were scored.
Yeah.
I mean, of course we've all done it.
But they weren't quite at it, Worcester. But
we were amazing players, though, David.
Oh, God, Sale were outrageous. The whole back row, I did this Team of the Week thing for Prem Rugby and I left out John O'Ross just because I felt I was putting the whole Sale back row in. But Curry and Strauss, Ross were just brilliant. Ostrakov played well. That Rob Webber was really good at hooker. They just... I think AJ McGinty as well, slotting back in at 10, coming back and pushing Sam James back into the midfield, I think really helps them. Because Sam James is a proper talent, I think. I think he's an international class player, I think. But I think I find him better in the midfield than at 10 consistently, if he's going to play somewhere forever. But I just look at that back line.
I really like Mike Haley at 15, and I really like Will Addison at 13.
Yeah, Will Addison's such a talent. So is Mike Haley. Mike Haley's off to Munster, isn't he? Is it Munster?
Not sure.
End of the season, so he's Irish, trying to qualify for the Ireland team. He's got his work cut out there with Carney and Lama, but I tell you what, he's some player. He might do it.
Yeah.
Hell of a game. Really, chuff for Sale, actually, because they didn't grind out a win. They absolutely battered Worcester. They were really, really good. And the game at St James's Park, I think wasn't the best game ever, but that's a hell of a win for Newcastle.
Can you believe that, though? It's 3-1. So Northampton scored 3 tries, Newcastle scored 1 and still won the game.
Yeah, and Northampton attacked really well. Horn in the midfield was really good, but they attack really well. But if your discipline's poor and you give Toby Flood 7 penalties, he's going to score at least 5 of them, and I think he scored 6 of them. He's going to score at least 5 of them because he's class. He's too classy not to. And he gets caught in possession a little bit, goes flat to the line, no options, but he just buys a bit of time, does a Mark Hughes and gets his foot on the ball, gets it away to Sinotti, who's brutal to stop, but they stop him. Gonova picks and goes through the middle like he always does.
Yeah.
Brutal. Again, it's really, really, it's the sort of thing you should never get caught with, but it's really hard to defend.
You just switch off, don't you? Because you're stood by the ruck, you guard, but...
It just doesn't happen very often.
Because you're on the back foot, you're looking at what's in front of you. You're not looking really about the sneaky picks. Yeah.
And you saw his Shearer celebration.
Yeah, nice touch
love
that.
It. Absolutely love it. But it's great that the St James's Park thing was fab. And I was at London Stadium for the Sarries game. The St James's Park thing's great. The atmosphere at Welford Road at the weekend was the best I have been in this season. Best I've been, and it's the best game I've watched live. It was really, really good. We enjoy our job, and you go and watch rugby and talk about rugby and all stuff like that, but it's not often you sit in the stand and are buzzing like the rest of the fans, and we were cheering, Durders and I are cheering both teams, don't care who wins. But
no, because you couldn't tell who was going to win all the way through.
And it was Christian Wade's show, then it was the Thomas Young show, then it was the Ellis Genn show. Oh, it was brilliant, man. What a game. Loved it. But Newcastle, I'm glad they won. They just needed to win a big game like that. Because I don't care who wins that game, really, but you put on a big show at St James's Park for the first time.
It's not a big game against Northampton Saints at the moment.
No, but I'm big in terms of the occasion. It's their first game at St James's Park, and they're wearing the special Newcastle striped jerseys and stuff.
Looked really good as well, didn't it?
Really cool. And Gonova did the Shearer, so goals achieved.
Madavasi's fitting in well at 12 now. It's taking a little bit of time.
He was really good
at the Ospreys.
I'm
watching him a lot there, but he's really starting to fit in then. You could see his kicking game is pretty good, his passing game as a distributor is good, he's big carrier.
Will Welch, by the way, he had hell of a game. He kind of always does, but he was especially good this weekend, I thought, pulled Newcastle through.
I watched the Blues beat Ulster as well.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I think they've won something like 6 on the bounce now.
Jeepers.
Big for them.
They're good since you retired.
Big for no they haven't. It's a lie. They've been good this last sort of 6 months, and if they can get to Champions Cup rugby next year, that's a huge plus for them, because I think they're fourth at the moment, but the Cheetahs, or the Southern Kings, come in what's in their conference, they can't qualify.
Of course, yeah.
So the Blues get to third. But yeah, they've all of a sudden found themselves in a really good spot.
Oh, good.
Full of confidence. The reason I touch on that is, well, I just want to make you listeners aware of a player who's playing very well at number 10, a guy called Jared Evans. You might not see too much of him.
I've seen Jared Evans play, yeah.
But imagine the Stuart Barnes mould of player.
Yeah.
He's short, he's solid, but the bloke can make a break and the bloke can hit a hole like you wouldn't believe. I reckon they look better with him at 10 than Anscombe.
Really?
Yeah.
Hope he gets a proper run, though, because they put him in and then drop him out as soon as Haskins comes back.
Yeah, they have been. It'd be interesting to see who plays 10 and 15, because they've also got Matthew Morgan.
Yeah, I really hope he gets a run, because I saw him play last season. He was super sharp. Now, on the subject of Stuart Barnes,
yeah,
he's joined Twitter.
I've seen.
Revelation. Follow him. Everyone follow him. He's a brilliant man. Don't be divs and abuse him, because you don't agree with some of the things he says. But just follow him, because he says exactly what he thinks. He's super bright and he's got a great sense of humour, and he's one of the best people I've followed in months.
Have you seen the clips of the Australian...
the cheating?
Yeah. You just keep turning the mic on and off?
I keep turning it off to cough.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
I wonder what you're doing.
No, I'm a great guy.
You're just messing around.
No, I'm a great guy.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. So he's got sandpaper in his jockstrap or something.
He's in his pocket, and then he realises that he's actually being filmed and puts it into his... Oh, but that's in crisis now.
That's terror.
Yeah.
One game suspension.
They're not a well-liked cricket team at all.
No?
No.
I'm not really a cricket fan, so I don't...
No, you can see a lot of ex-players and pundits have come out, and they're not well-liked at all.
Hammered them. Yeah.
Warner's not liked at all. The senior player group, which apparently is involved in this conspiracy, which is going on. But getting Bancroft, one of the younger players, to do it as well. He's only had 8 tests. In cricket, and that's a strawberry season, half a strawberry season.
Yeah,
to get him to do it, the batsman, you know, it's poor, and you know, they've actually come out and admitted it as well, which they have to, really, because there's so much evidence.
Yeah, bang to rights, really.
You can't be sandpapering a ball to get it to swing more.
No,
I mean justice was served because he got hammered in the test against Africa, but.
And they look like absolute Muppets. They do. Unfortunately, that will last forever on their reps.
Yeah, it will do.
So, very, very silly. But easy to judge from here, but it's very, very silly to be doing that kind of stuff. It's like being a pro athlete and taking steroids. It's like, well, you might look better, but if you ever get caught, you will never, ever shake that off. I just never got caught.
Is it like using Google in a pub quiz?
Someone said to me once, we're in David Lloyd in Watford. Or David, where was Enfield? David Lloyd in Enfield, where we used to train with Sarries towards the end.
Yeah.
And this bloke came in, and he was quite ripped up and whatever, and in the change. And I was taking loads of pills. And he was like, he goes, "What are they, mate? What are you taking there?" I didn't know this bloke. And I said, "Oh, just steroids, mate." I said, "I'm only joking, they're vitamins." He goes, "Yeah, I was going to say, if they're steroids, they ain't working, mate." I said, "All right." Anyway, yeah. I killed him.
Chill out.
I killed him.
I reckon, David, at some stage, we're going to have to rejig this format of our podcast. We can't let it get stale. We can't be complacent. I mean, we have a chat at the start.
Today has been complacent. It's been we're tired and we haven't been good enough today, all right? But...
PAH on Twitter, right? Don't understand that, but it's at Whammy 373.
Yeah.
Rubbish name.
He's going to say Anglo something Welsh, nasty, that's why you
Anglo Welsh has been rearranged for Good Friday, which means both teams could play their internationals. Will they, or should they, or should the final be the players who have played in it already?
The latter.
We've slightly touched on that. Yeah, Whammy. There's a question here from David Mullinox.
Whatever.
Yeah, French.
Whatever.
Leicester Wasps, one of the best games of the season? Yes, it was. Flats, can you explain why scrum was so one-sided?
Well, David, it wasn't. In the first half, primarily, Wasps were dominant because they were powerful through Jake Cooper-Woolley, but they also, he sheared a little bit across the front. McIntyre went a bit outside Dan Cole, so he sort of sheared across the front of them, a bit like Saints used to do with Tonga Weir and Mujati. Very effective if you're not pulled up for it, why not? And the substitutions addressed that, but also Leicester started hitting back at them. Dan Cole would hit back a little bit. And Bateman and Youngs were squaring up the tight head, squaring up Jake Cooper-Woolley a bit. So they evened it out in key scrums. Second half, Leicester were dominant. A lot of that was to do with Ellis Genge. Marty Moore is, in my view, significantly weaker than Jake Cooper-Woolley in the scrum on average. And Ellis Genge absolutely did a job on Marty Moore and got him moving backwards and was just way too aggressive for him. And so it wasn't one-sided. Wasps dominated for most of the first half. Leicester dominated for most of the second half.
For a guy who didn't want to do any questions, well done, mate. Can we get a big shout-out to London Welsh Rugby Football Club, promoted into London 3 next year. Hearts and Middlesex won champions with 2 games to go. The journey back begins, being a fellow London Welsher, where I learned my trade.
Oh, well done, yeah.
So there you are, Daniel Evans. If you want to, if you want to play some decent rugby and a good social, get yourselves down to Old Deer Park. What a clubhouse. ODP. What history. What fun.
All right. So anyway, Hayley Lees said, my fiance ignores me on our 5-hour round trip to work. Oh my God, where do you work? Whilst I'm trying to plan our wedding that's in July, he listens to your podcast instead. Can you please give him some wedding planning advice? His name is Andrew Todd. Also, you're welcome to come to the wedding.
Shall we?
Sorry, Shank said, what's the fee? Shall we go? What's the date? Hayley, let us know what the date is, and if we're around, we'll come along, as long as it's not one of those weddings where you promise the world and actually it's a cash bar. We need accommodation, we need free booze and food, and we might come.
Don't know why I say all the time, but
anyway, a bit of wedding planning advice. Just don't, you can't be that guy and say leave it to the missus. I left it entirely to someone else. I didn't do anything at all.
You had a wedding planner though.
No, I didn't. So
I'm sure you did.
Dick, no, I didn't. Can you comment, Joe Wildy, this is, can you comment on form levels of England players who played so well for their clubs at the weekend and basically compare with how they played for England? Is it as simple as a change as good as a rest?
Yes, 100%. You get yourselves into that rut where nothing's really working. Sometimes it's the other way around as well, that you could, confidence could be low at your club, you could not be playing that well, you can't wait to get into camp with your national team, and it works the other way around exactly the same. You know, things haven't been going well for England or Wales when we play badly. You can't wait to start fresh again, get back to the club and sort of just forget about what's gone on, because you can get into yourself, you can do a bit of mental damage to yourself.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
I think we should mention Jamie Heaslip retiring as well.
Of course, and Adam Jones. Absolute greats.
Bomb's retiring at the end of the season, although it's announced now.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I thought we all thought he retired ages ago.
Yeah.
But Jamie Heaslip has had to retire through injury.
What a legend.
Stanley on Twitter, which is @manstan, he'd be interested to hear my memories of him on the 2009 tour. I didn't go. Got injured.
Yeah, I didn't go either. Didn't get picked.
No, do your research, mate.
James Spackman. Question
what a,
for
what
you.
A player Heaslip was, though, quickly. You know,
oh, good.
Was,
okay, sorry, Tom. We haven't
moved
on.
He was a phenomenal player.
Yeah, amazing player. He had it all. I mean, he wasn't a huge guy, so you think, well, how could he be so durable and powerful in a big man's game? But he was hugely powerful, hugely accurate, reliable,
skillful.
Durable, skillful. He had everything, fit, everything.
Big loss to Ireland.
Proper world-class player.
Bloody good bloke.
James Spackman, Gennaro Savastano from Gomorrah. Prop material or more flanker? I think he's not either, because I think he's big, but I think he's soft. I think he's out of shape. He's doughy.
I think he's hooker.
I think he's doughy.
I look at him, I think power, though. Just look, but also, how good an actor is he?
Oh, man.
He's so good. I finished all Gomorrah now, by the way.
Mega, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of the best things I've ever watched.
Yeah.
I don't say that lightly, Tommy. You know that.
I mean, I don't want to ruin it for everyone or people that haven't watched it or are halfway through it, but I really like Patricia.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, me too. Mm. Padri. I love it.
Can we have two more questions?
Oh, Englander. Where does Adam Jones stand on the pantheon of greatest front row forwards? Has to be up there.
So, what do you call it? Owen.
Owen Glinder.
Owain.
Owain Glindur. What?
Glindur.
Owain Glindur.
Adam.
Where does Adam Jones stand? I mean, he's one of the great tight heads, really. I mean, he was there for his scrummaging, and while the laws permitted, which was almost his entire career, hit and go, there were few that gave Adam Jones much trouble at all, because he had natural bulk, natural size, which means it's hard to get under him. He's got a very deep chest. Also, he had extreme strength. So when the hit and go allowed him some momentum, he had extreme strength. So even when he didn't get it right, very, very hard to move back.
I've been reading that. Would I assume that having a huge weight behind you as well?
On the hit and go really helps.
Yeah.
Because you can be hugely strong
and be 110 kilos. Or you can also be hugely strong and weigh 125.
Yes, momentum. If you've got the same level of power and strength and you're 10 kilos heavier, you'll hit something harder.
Last one, we'll finish on a good one, okay?
Yeah. Gavin Taylor's one.
Yes!
Again. Yeah, go on then.
If you had to die having sex, which famous lady would you choose as your Black Widow lover?
Kate Upton.
Really?
That was quick, wasn't it? A bit too quick, maybe.
Yeah.
Although, the only thing that worries me about Kate Upton is that she wouldn't want to. The other thing is that I don't know if she's funny. I like funny
funny is almost the most important thing to me.
But you're dying, mate, so it's your last one. So that potentially doesn't need
what
to be funny.
What am I thinking? Of course I am. Not there for laughs, am I? I'm there to die.
Yeah.
Maybe you want someone bigger and stronger. They can carry you to the coffin. Anyway, yeah, Kate Upton, yours? This is really laddish, this chat. And
yeah,
you've got
bigger
man,
so
you've got bigger
man
as well to be balanced.
I can't look past Pamela Anderson when she was in her prime.
But she's not, though. You've got to pick someone now. So I'd say, oh, Elizabeth Taylor, please, 50 years ago. So you can't do that. Okay. You've got to pick a woman and a man to balance this up. Kate Upton's my woman. Noel Fielding is my man.
Like him edgy, don't you?
Eh?
Like him edgy, don't
I like
you?
Like him edgy, yeah.
Is that because he's got long hair?
Yeah.
Who have I got man? Oh.
I've thought about this before, by the way. It didn't just come to me.
Yeah.
I've been asked who, if I had to do some stuff with a man, who would it be? And it was Noel Fielding. Came to me. And I stuck with it forever. Cause it works.
Probably because he'd be up for it as well.
I don't know.
I just don't know, mate.
I don't know. I'll ask him. Okay, man. Give us a woman and a man. Come
oh,
on.
Can't
I've
think
done it. You've got to do it.
All right. Give me some help. Who's
fit then?
Yeah.
Jessica Biel's just your type.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
And Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah. Really good. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's really good, actually. Yeah, I think you might have done better than me there. Mine's funnier.
What, that Kate Upton?
Fielders.
What's funny about that?
Fielders for laugh, Kate Upton for breakfast. Anyway, that'll do, won't it?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, cheers, you guys. Ta-ra, yeah?
Bye.